If you'll take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We have made it to verse 6 as we're going through 2 Corinthians. We have the supremacy of the new covenant of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Let's pray. Father, again, we come before your throne of grace, and we thank you for each and every opportunity we have to come together to worship you, to sing praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to meet together and worship as a body of Christ here. And Father, we thank you for each one that's here today. We thank you for the visitors earlier as well. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this church, and pray, Father, that you'll continue to guide us and direct us. I pray, Father, as we look into your word now, that you'd speak to each one of us personally, that we'd be drawn closer to you. As I always pray, Father, that our faith would increase, that we would be found faithful as we continue to serve you. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. Thank you for this message, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the apostle here is contrasting between the gospel of grace and the law of Moses. And so we see, obviously, anybody here want to live under the law? We like grace, don't we? The gospel of grace. Thank God for His grace, His unspeakable grace. Those were opposing Paul's authority apparently were Judaizers, and what they were trying to do was to get the Corinthians back under the law. It's amazing to me how many people that come to know Jesus Christ under grace and then go back to the old ways, right? They go back to what they came out of. And it's amazing. I know some people that were saved out of Mormonism, saved out of Jehovah's Witness, whatever it might be, and they'll go and they'll get into a good Baptist church, and the next thing you know, they're going right back to where they came from. And I often wonder, was there really a change of heart? Did they really get saved? I can't see a heart. I can't tell for sure. But why would you go back to that? Why would you go back to the bondage of the old ways when you know that, or you've been exposed to something that's so much better? People that want to live under the law, and there's a lot of them, Seventh-day Adventists, they keep saying they're keeping the law, they're keeping the law, and every time I ask them about one or the other, it's, well, we've changed that part. You're either going to keep the law or you're not, right? But we all know, what was the law given for? Schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. It was not there for us to keep because we can't keep it. Anybody never, ever sinned? The answer to that is yes, one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone else has sinned. I hate to say this, but Miss Reynolds, your two darling little grandsons that were born just recently are sinners. It's the way it is, right? We're all born sinners. And we don't have to learn it. It just comes natural for us. But the law was there to bring us to Christ so that we wouldn't have to be concerned with that. I tell you, I have such a hard time keeping track of so much anymore, and the older I get, the easier it is to forget things, it seems. But can you imagine trying to remember what offering you'd have to sacrifice for what you did and when and how and all that stuff? Not to mention, we all know, again, I'm not a person that likes to deal with blood, so I don't deal with that stuff well. I wouldn't want to have. Aren't you glad that grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ has come to you and that you can have salvation and not have to try and make sure you've kept all of the law? Now, I've had some people say, well, we're no longer under the law, so we can do whatever we want. When people talk like that, what is the Bible's response? God forbid, right? Why should we want to do those things that we've been saved out of? Interesting how people have these ideas of what they think. Paul here reveals the superiority of the new covenant. The superiority. It's so much greater. The supremacy of ministers of the new covenant. We are ministers of the new covenant. I like how the Apostle Paul just slides right into this comparison that he makes between the law of Moses and the gospel of Christ. And the fact that he magnifies and prefers the latter above the former. He calls the law the letter, the gospel the spirit. I like how he does this. He calls it the ministration of the Spirit. The letter kills, that's because it condemns, right? The law condemns, it curses the sinner, it shows us that we cannot keep the law, we cannot do what we need to, that we are a transgressor of the law. All those things are shown to us, but the Spirit of Christ revealed in the gospel enables us and directs us to obey and therefore gives us life. As long as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as we accept that free gift of eternal life, we have life, right? It's amazing how many times I've been with people that are on their deathbed. And over and over and over they've told me, they're just going home. They're just going home. They're just going home. Well, if the trumpet doesn't sound before God calls me home, I'm going to face death one day. The older I get, the more real it becomes, right? When we're young, we're invincible, so we think. But as we get older, we start thinking about those things, right? I mean, there was a time years ago when I was told, you know, you're married now, you should get life insurance. So I bought life insurance. Thought, it's a good idea, right? It was very inexpensive when we bought it way back when. It's a whole lot more money to buy it now. They're banking on the fact that I'm not going to live a lot longer. So the cost has gone way up. When I was young, they thought, he's going to live for a while. I was smart and bought whole life instead of term. So mine is going to be there throughout the whole thing. And I don't really totally understand it, but the price went down. It's been going up over the years, still very reasonable, but it just went down in July. I said, I turned 61 in July and it went down. I got older and the premium went down. I had to call and ask about that, but it's kind of interesting how that happened. I was kind of in shock. Nothing else is going down, right? Everything else is going up. But we have to understand that because we have eternal life, when death does come, we're just changing locations. And by the way, from this old sinful world to a much better location. And Paul's saying, the gospel of grace is so much more glorious than the law. So much more. This passage is often twisted to say that the letter of the Bible or a teaching ministry kills while the spirit of fresh revelations has life. And let me tell you, there nothing could be further from the truth or the meaning of this passage. People have gotten things so twisted. And I tell you, I don't care what it is, what passage of the Bible it is, someone out there has twisted it to be something that it doesn't say. Satan is at work. Paul is saying that trying to be saved by works of obedience to the letter of the law, the old covenant, can only bring death, while being born of the Spirit under the new covenant brings life. Can't imagine, as I said earlier, why would you want to live under the law? it's so restrictive, right? Not to mention, you can't do anything that we can do under grace, right? Under grace, it's so much more freedom. So much more freedom. Thank God, again, for His saving grace. Then we see the supremacy of the ministry of the new covenant in verses 7 through 13. Its superior glory. The law, which was the ministration of death and condemnation, was glorious, but it's far exceeded by the glory of the new covenant, which is the ministration of the Spirit and righteousness. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away." He calls the law again a killing law or a ministration of death, because it condemns men for the breach of it to temporal and eternal death without opening them any door of hope. This law was only written upon the engraved stone, whereas the gospel is written in the fleshly tables of man's heart. Quite a difference. Quite a difference. How the apostles declare that this ministration of the law was glorious. Glorious in the minister of it, Moses, right? Who had such a luster upon his face that the children of Israel could not even look upon him. They couldn't bear the sight of it. And glorious in the manner of giving it. There was a great deal of the glory and the majesty of God attended the giving of the law of Moses, to Moses rather. The ministration of the law was glorious. It was very glorious. The comparison which the apostle makes here, as we're going on through this, between the law and the gospel, and the preference which he gives to the one above the other. Obviously, we being on this side of it know that obviously, the gospel is much more glorious, right? Much more glorious. Can you imagine, though, being saved back then when you were under the law? People say, well, that didn't happen. Yeah, it did. Abraham, right? I spoke about Enoch this morning. Yes, they did. By faith, they believe, just like we have to believe by faith. Thank God for those who went before us, for those that we have record of, so we can know that even when things come upon them, their lives weren't easy. Anybody get saved and it was easy street from there on out? Anybody heard that if you got saved, it was easy street from there on out? I did. I've heard it from several people. You get saved and it's easy street from here on out. I don't know where they get that. I'm thinking they've obviously never been saved, right? Because they would have known that it wasn't easy. As soon as you get saved, it's like Satan wants to attack. Satan wants to hinder you any way he can. But Moses, so much more glorious than Moses. As the glory of Moses' face ceased after a while, so the glory of the law ceased at the coming of the gospel. The law was delivered by God to Moses, but the gospel was delivered to the apostles by the Son of God, which is the brightness of His Father's glory and the expressed image of His person. The glory of Moses did more and more decrease. The glory put upon the apostles and derived from Christ was still more and more increasing upon them. I have to tell you, if I had to preach just the law, the law, the law, the law, the law all the time instead of the gospel, can you imagine how that would just be so hard for people? You got to live under the law. You've got to live under the law. You've got to live under the law. We have such freedom. And I'm not saying freedom to sin. We have freedom from that bondage. We need to not go back to the law. Does it mean we are exempt from the law? Does it mean we can go out and kill whoever we want because thou shalt not kill no longer applies to us? No. It doesn't mean that. Does it mean we can go out and steal? No. It doesn't. For some reason, after the big hurricane in Florida, the governor, I mean, can you imagine the governor having come out and say, we will not tolerate looting? Should that not just be understood? Thou shalt not steal. Should that not be understood, that we should not be doing that? It should be. But people have to be told that they're not to do that. And then they still do. It's amazing. Amazing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, it goes on and says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? The chief glory of the gospel, which the apostle here insists upon, is the ministration of the Spirit in the large infusions of it under the gospel dispensation, giving spiritual and eternal life to believers instead of death, spiritual and eternal coming by the law. Therefore, the ministration of the Spirit, or the gospel, is much more glorious, and consequently a greater reverence and honor is due to it and to the ministers of it. There is no greater thing in my mind than to be able to share the gospel message with people. What could be greater? I mean, we share the gospel message with somebody and they get saved. That's obviously the greatest. But just sharing the gospel with people, giving them the opportunity to get saved, I can't think of anything greater to do. We need to do that regularly. It is the high honor of the gospel ministry that it is the means by which the Holy Spirit is imparted to men. It's by the preaching of the Word of God that men get saved. That kind of came out at the conference. One of the questions was to Brother Shaw, all the singing that goes on, and I have to tell you, Brother Shaw, and he's older than I am, but he has more energy than I've got for sure. He gets up there and, I mean, he gets people singing. And I thought it was interesting when the first thing they did was they called all the preachers and evangelists and missionaries up to the front, and we're all up there, and one of the guys I stood next to, he said, they said all the bad singers in the back. I said, I'm following you then. And we went to the back row, and I said, this will be good because we're further from them, so they can't hear what we're sounding like back here, right? Anyway, so it was kind of interesting, but Brother Shaw got us singing. And that boy can hold notes like nobody I know, I think. And I was out of breath before we got even done with the first stanza of the first hymn we sang. And when he explained to us we were singing too, I went, if we have breath, right? But it was amazing. But it was brought out that all that singing is not what God said people get saved by. It doesn't matter how great a song leader Brother Shaw is. That's not what God designed for people to get saved. It's by the foolishness of preaching the Word of God that people get saved. So how glorious that is. How wonderful that is. The ministration of the Spirit of the gospel is much more glorious, and consequently a greater reverence and honor is due to it and the ministers of it. It is the high honor of the gospel ministry that it is the means by which the Holy Spirit is imparted to men. As I said, the work of the ministry is therefore the most important and honorable in which man can be a part of. If you are saved, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have a ministry. He was like, well, God never called me to the ministry. If you got saved, God called you. Everybody has a ministry. I don't care what it is, we all have the ministry of sharing the gospel with someone else. If nothing else. In verse 8 it says, be rather glorious, because that of Moses tended to death, this tends to life. The gospel tends to life. Because that was engraven on stone, but the gospel is engraven on the hearts of men. Because that was the mere giving of the law, this is connected with the renovating influences of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in, moves in, your life changes, right? I know I'm not the only one that the Holy Spirit convicts. Conviction takes place when we're doing what we're not supposed to be doing. When we say something, and we're all guilty of saying something we shouldn't have, right? We have a tendency, when we're upset, the mouth engages before the brain, and sometimes we say things we don't mean. Or it comes out sounding like something we didn't intend for it to sound like. And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful. The Holy Spirit comes in and does a renovation project on the heart. We need that. Because that was soon to pass away, talking about the law, all the magnificence of the scene was soon to vanish. But this is to remain. Its influence and effects are to be everlasting. It is to stretch into eternity, and its main glory is to be witnessed in souls renewed and saved, and amidst the splendors of heaven. Once you're saved, you're always saved. This saving grace is going to go on forever. The gospel is never going to change. It's always going to be there. Then verse 9 goes on and says, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The different titles that were given to the law and to the gospel, the former is called the ministration of condemnation because it condemns men eternally for the violation of it. The latter is called the ministration of righteousness or justification because it discovers to us the only way for a sinner's justification is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator, the righteous, the only one who could be our mediator between man and God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that Jesus came. Thank God Jesus, when he knew he left heaven's glory, he knew what he had to do. He was to be about his Father's business, was to come and seek and to save that which was lost. It was to go to the cross and die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. I'm so thankful that when Jesus was being spit upon, when he was being beat, when he knew what was coming, he didn't say, you know what? These people just aren't worth it. Praise the Lord, he didn't. But I have to tell you, if it was you or me, we'd have said, I've had enough, I'm out of here, right? But Jesus said, no, these are worth it. And he willingly gave up his life. We take that way too lightly. He willingly gave up his life for us. He who knew no sin became sin that we could have eternal life. A lot of people say, well, the worst part was when he hung on the cross. No, the worst part was when God the Father turned his back on him. That's the worst part. That's something you and I will never experience. Because God has not turned his back on his children. Ever. Thank God when he sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have his righteousness. Quite a difference from who we really are. The law only reveals condemnation and death. How much more glorious is the gospel, which reveals righteousness and life? Righteousness. Here, the righteousness which God gives through faith in Christ, bringing to the soul justification instead of condemnation. I like the fact, justified, never sinned. Even though we know we have. Till we realize we're a sinner, we're not going to ask for forgiveness of being a sinner, right? I like the old saying, you have to get them lost before you can get them saved. Because there's too many people that think they're too good. They don't need a Savior. But we need to all come to the end of ourselves and realize that without Christ, we are just a sinner, condemned, on our way to hell. But then the glorious gospel reveals that we can have eternal life. We can change the path we're on and end up on the right path, the narrow way. Thank God. Thank God. He loved us enough. He gave us a way of escape from eternal death. And it's in Jesus Christ. It's that free gift I mentioned this morning. Free gift. It's free. In verse 10, it goes on and says, "For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth." For even that which was made glorious, the old covenant, as the glory of the moon and stars fades before the glory of the sun, so its glory disappears in comparison with the exceeding glory of the gospel. Ever been up when the sun's coming up, the moon disappears? I unfortunately have seen the sunrise on more than one occasion. Not that I like to do that. I like to be in bed when the sun's rising until after it's up, but it's unfortunate that you see that, and you see that the moon disappears, right, in the sky? We don't see it again till later in the day. As the sun's going down, the moon's showing up. Well, thank God that that glory of the law disappears as the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ comes on the scene. Had no glory, ceased to appear as glorious in this respect, in comparing its glory with the greater glory of the gospel. None in comparison of this more excellent glory. Do you realize there will never be any greater glory than the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's nothing coming to replace it. They had the old covenant. The new covenant came, right? Replaced the old covenant. We have nothing coming. This is it. We are going to have the glorious gospel for all eternity. Can you imagine? Then the greater light swallows up the lesser light. I like the fact that they said there's not going to be a need for lights in heaven because the light of the world is going to be there. The light of the world is going to take care of all that for us. Can you imagine not having to replace light bulbs? I fell for that story. You know, you buy the LEDs and put them in your house and all, and you don't have to replace them for 13 years or whatever. Yeah. Got one in my office. It's in a ceiling fan, and so I bought the ceiling fan version of the LED bulbs and put them in there. Two of them are still working well. One of them has this strobe effect going on with it, kind of like the lights that we have here going off and on every once in a while. It's this strobe effect. So I switched fixture sections where it went and said, if I put this in this one where I know that bulb's working, let's see if it's the bulb or if it's the fixture. It's the bulb. It strobes in no matter what fixture I put it in. It's very annoying when you're sitting at your desk studying and all of a sudden the lights are flashing. It's like, no. We're not going to need any of that. That's all going away. It's going to be nice when I never have to get on a ladder again to change a light bulb, right? Because we're not going to have that. We have the light. The light, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be glorious. We're going to stop there tonight. It's a little early, but I don't want to get into this next section until next week, where we can complete the whole section. All right, we are going to get on with...